Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and colleagues from the Department. I'm going to present the report for the Northern Cape Province. I'll start by highlighting to the Portfolio Committee the current footprint for the province, that we have three large offices which were previously called regional offices. Currently these are Francis Bart, which is Kimberley office, and Kuruman office, which is in the John Paulo Haizeo district, and Upington office, which is in Sianda. I must highlight that due to the new current operating model, we are going to increase the large offices in the coming year to 5, because then we will have to have a large office per district, because the Northern Cape has got 5 districts. So currently there are 3 districts already operating, I mean, large offices operating in 3 districts. And with the increase of 2, it means that we will upgrade the office of DR in the Pixley-Kaseme district into a large office, and also upgrade Springbok office, which is in Namakwa, to a large office. Then we will have a 5. Currently we have local offices which are average, 7 throughout the province, and we also have local offices small, which were previously called PSPs. We have 4. We have 2 that are still not operational, which is Carnarvon and Batley West, which are being under put under renovation and refurbishment as we speak. And we do not have a refugee center in the province. We have health facilities in the province. At least we have 16. Currently, we do not have IT connectivity only at 2 hospitals, which is in Khalishiwe. Khalishiwe was connected, but due to thieves stealing copper wire and what have you, it has reverted to where we are collecting applications only manually, whilst we are still sorting out the telecom connectivity in Khalishiwe. We are even thinking of the option of using 3G, because it was for the second time that copper wire was stolen from that facility or near that facility. At Yankemdorp, there's no office space, but at least they allow us to collect applications manually. We have 11 ports of entry in the province, which includes the international port, which is Upington. And then we have tuition centers, 3 of them, where we are providing services. Sorry, Chairperson, there's an IT hiccup.
We have a bit of a problem, just the IT. We decided to freeze, I don't know.
It's not charging, so the laptop battery went off.
Okay. we can use the hard copy. It's not a problem.
Honorable members, the next slide is the one that shows on a map how the offices are distributed throughout the province. As I previously indicated, there are three large offices, and those are indicated in amber color, as you can see, it's up in Nkuruman and Kimberley. It's in the second, the third page where the map is starting, and then there it is on the, let's go back to the next slide, let's go back to the previous slide. This one, the one that has been come. Show it on us like you did previously. Okay, thank you. I was just saying the amber color shows large offices, and the yellow color shows the average offices, which is Postmasburg, Pampirsa, Vientiane, Dathas, Prisca, Springbok, Calvinia, DR and Carlsberg. Here, Chairperson, we just want to highlight that if you look well at it, you'll see that there are offices colored in pink, which are offices envisaged for opening, which is Globalist Group, Carnarvon, Victoria West, Sutherland, Hopetown, and Hopetown. Today, as I speak, we are starting to operate Carnarvon on the 1st of August today, which is a plus because where they are situated, especially Sutherland, Carnarvon, and Victoria West, is where there is no presence of Home Affairs currently. The opening of Carnarvon will help us achieve the target where we set in that at least people should travel for not more than 30 minutes to reach our offices. But if you look at that, you will see that the nearest offices which was in this area would have been DR. And you know, our problem here was that people were traveling just to register that maybe from Carnarvon to DR, and they would pay more than 800 just for that kind of application. So the opening of this Carnarvon office will help us ensure that at least the people are able to access our services. And later when we open Sutherland, it will also now completely, you know, at least offload the burden, the economic burden and the traveling and, you know, lack of access in that area. As I speak, we are in communication and in contact, interacting with the municipality there, the Karoo Auckland Municipality. And the municipality is very willing to offer us an office space so that we can operate from Sutherland. These two areas, Sutherland and Carnarvon, I'm sure honourable members will remember that there is a SCAR project, a square kilometre array project in in Carnarvon, and there is a telescope in Sutherland, which are kind of becoming busy, and you know, life is being injected into these two towns. So the presence of Home Affairs will also come handy in terms of ensuring that we also look at foreigners that are there, whether they are documented, but also to ensure that at least the local people there enjoy their services. The local municipality of Rehberg is very happy. The mayor was sitting in our, just about 2 weeks ago, we are doing interviews to recruit front office clerks for Carnarvon. And the mayor sat there just to observe the process. And we are saying to the mayor, we are going to appoint and employ people from Carnarvon so that at least there is retention of staff on an ongoing basis, that we don't recruit people from outside the area of these small towns. The next slide is talking to the inspectorate and ports of entry, which shows our ports that link us to Namibia and Botswana. As I said, we have 11 ports. We have one international port, which is Upington Airport, and we have two big ports, which is Nakop and Fjordsdrift. And the other ports are small ports where people are entering and leaving the country through them. These ports are staffed, and there's services being rendered, and people are being processed across Botswana and Namibia from South Africa. The slide talks to the area of each province. You know, we are just comparing ourselves to how big is this province of Northern Cape compared to other provinces. And we see that when we look at this slide, we can see that Gauteng, for example, is Gauteng, which is the biggest province in terms of population, is it's 7.7%. 1.4 is too close there. And then look at the Northern Cape, you'll see that it is 30% bigger than, it's 30% share of the total square area of, as highlighted in this pie chart. We will report later that we receive vehicles. The department is also looking at the vastness of the province and ensuring that we sit in committees that allocate resources. That is helping us because we are able now to be allocated more resources. Later I'll report that we are allocated 11 cars while other provinces are allocated one or two cars, just to ensure that we reach out to the communities in the province. And the budget allocation also, we will report that it has increased in order to allow us or to enable us to reach out to the communities in the province. The next slide talks to the, within the province, what is the biggest district municipality. And we can see that John Paul Gauteng is the biggest one, followed by Pixley Kaseme, and Sianda is the third one. Namapa is the smallest, and then Francisburg follows in terms of the square kilometer. The next slide we're showing just what I reported on about Sutherland, that there is a telescope there, and that we were there to, you know, look at what are the scientists doing there, and are scientists cleared or not, and also to ensure that we communicate with the municipality to ensure that we open services of Home Affairs in that area. The next slide we show, in this slide we're showing that there is a which is situated in the desert, just to show you, the picture shows the vastness of the province and the traveling that officials have to endure, either traveling to work or traveling to ensure that they reach adjacent communities. We also have now a presence at Port Nolloth. Port Nolloth, that we did not have a presence, and Port Nolloth is close on to 200 kilos from Springbok, which is the closest office. Then this slide talks to the staff profile, and, you know, it shows what levels we have and what is the gender. I would straight away go to show that in terms of, I heard the honorable members are inquiring about how many people of the disability category are appointed in a province. And this slide, you'll see that there are three male levels who are in level sixes. Level 6 who are appointed in this category, and then 5 in level 6 who are female, and 1 is in level 7, with a total of 9. And the next slide shows that we are achieving 3% of the threshold on the appointment of people with disabilities. This we also achieved because we are in communication of the Department of Labor, and we are also, liaising of the local municipalities so that we are able to identify people who qualify or who are suitable to be appointed at Home Affairs of Disability. But our disability unit at head office is also running programs with us to ensure that people of disability feel accepted and wanted in a department, and I think that is helping us to achieve this target. This is shown in the next slide, where I'm showing the provincial capacity filled and vacant funded post. This establishment has recently been approved, and as you can see, it shows that we have 39 vacant funded posts, and they have been advertised. We are in the process of recruiting and selecting the suitable candidate. The capacity, if you look at it, you'll see that we are almost at 40%, but this has gone down after the posts were improved. Now, this means that in the coming year and the MTF period, the post would have to be funded so that in the ultimate end, we are increasing our capacity in the province more so that we are going to be opening more offices. So that will go hand in hand with the funding that will be available to ensure that these offices are capacitated. The next slide talks to the budget, that the provincial offices is not just the provincial manager's office, but it includes the civic offices. And the funding there is $69,132,000 for civic offices, and including provincial office. And for the courts, the funding is $12.969 million, and the total funding of $82 million. The next slide talks to the budget. The budget is $62,411,000. And that is for compensation of employees, and the expenditure to date is $13,533,265, and then budget available is $57,744,735 of a 20% expenditure. Our budget in goods and services was increased, for example, from $8.8 million of last year to $10.737 million. The expenditure of $2,668,414. The balance is $8,067,586,000. This, we achieved a 25% expenditure, which is reasonable for a quarter. And then the transfer subsidies for benefits of employees, large mainly. And then there we are experiencing an expenditure of 11%. Largely what resulted in the increase in the budget, as I said, is that nationally the DG now is calling provincial managers when the budget is allocated to ensure that the needs of provinces are taken into consideration in allocating the budget to the province. Provincial managers are also invited to ExCo meeting when it is necessary to ensure that when resources are allocated, is in line of what has been analyzed and is equal to the needs per province. As revenue collection, the revenue collected, all the revenue collected that has been, the revenue collected has been banked. We are reporting here that if you look at the slide, you'll see that Kimberley is the highest of $659,000, followed by Sianda, which is up in the office, with $451,480, and then John Dowler of Isaiah, $430,650,000. As I said, all revenue collected is banked. We are also assisted by the fact that where we collecting more than 5,000 per day, the revenue collection has been outsourced to a security company to ensure the security of revenue, so that daily banking is achieved and under secure circumstances. The next slide, we're talking to the asset management. I must report that here, Chairperson, we have been audited twice. The auditors came to Kimberley office. The first sample was a bit smaller, and then they came for the second time, and they didn't find any exception throughout their auditing. But the slide highlights the extent of the amounts. The opening balance there was $25,888,945. An adjustment due to assets fair values that would have to be estimated, re-estimated, result in the adjusted opening balance of 25,166,788. And then for the 2011 and 12 financial year, there has been assets that have been procured, and those were estimated or are at the value of 2,052,071 rand. And we lost one laptop that has been reported to the police. So the balance, or the closing balance by May 31, was 27,218,860. Earlier on, I reported, Chairperson, to the hospitals that are online in the province. Those are 16 hospitals plus one Mediclinic. We are not connected at the Mediclinic, as it is a private hospital, but the Mediclinic in Kimberley where we are operating, we are able to collect application and register them at the Kimberley Hospital, which is a government facility. So that has helped us to ensure that we achieve our target. You see, when you look at the slide, that for the annual target was 16,915 babies that we were supposed to register. And we are indicating that divided by quarter is 4,060 we are supposed to register. And that we are reporting that we registered more than the target, that is, we registered 4,406 babies, which is we exceeded the target of 9%. I must highlight that this we achieved because our hospitals are staffed. Or if they are staffed, if they are not staffed, we have allocated resources to an official in an adjacent office who's going to travel to register babies at the closest hospitals in the nearby areas. Every day the staff member is going there. We are busy recruiting front office clerks who will be placed at hospitals with high volumes to ensure that babies are registered daily there. And I think that will help us also to ensure, like Mr. Simons was saying, to ensure that when 100 babies are born in a hospital, all of them are registered. But the other thing that is helping us with the registering or connecting of the hospital is that where we don't have offices, these hospitals, we are going to use them also as offices, a satellite office where we are not only going to register babies, but we are also going to collect other home affairs services to ensure that maybe if we place the clerk there, they will not just register babies, but they will also do other home affairs applications. And that we are doing in two hospitals currently, which is Warrenton and we are registering babies at Warrenton plus doing other services at two hospitals. I'll just indicate now which is the other hospitals where we are doing so. But the next slide, we are just showing that, for example, at Kimberley Hospital, we have a facility or an office that we are operating on a daily basis, and there the slide is just showing that throughout, you know, the office is operated as though it is a complete home affairs office, with posters, with telephones, with faxes, so that the clerk that operates at this hospital does everything and completes the functions that they have to complete. We also extended our services to areas like Kakamas and Kainos. These hospitals are operated, and for example, Kakamas and Kainos, they are supported by Appenden office, and I must report that there also we experience that all the babies that are born in that area are being registered. That we show in posters in this area is just to indicate that during the presidency and the premier's visit to our facilities in Kimberley and hospitals, they have given us a good report to indicate that at least we are one of the few facilities or few departments that have got their manager's contact details displayed, and that when the public is not happy with the service, they are able to take the DG's or the provincial manager's contact particulars and call them for registering their queries. The next slide talks to identity document campaign. This quarter we are reporting that we targeted all the schools that are there in the province, the high schools, 253 of them, to ensure that the applications from children turning 16 are collected. We collected 871 applications, and there was also a late registration of birth that was collected. But plus high schools, there were other schools than high schools where we also targeted learners to ensure that those learners who are turning 16, despite the fact or irrespective of the fact that they are in high school, in grade 12, their applications were taken. This helped us to collect 2,654 applications and also to distribute 510 IDs and do also LRBs on the spot. We also, at the same time, were linking with our inspectorate staff to ensure that we conducted inspections at the schools. There are often cases where you find that learners attend schools, especially learners from the adjacent countries. They attend school without having the proper permits. And these were inspected, and we discovered that there were some learners who were in schools and they did not have permits. Number of learners who were found were 44, and there were illegal foreigners found in these schools who were learners, and seven of them. This was the communication was done with the Department of Education to ensure that parents of learners are contacted and to call them to ensure that they apply for permits, not to allow children to attend school without permits. But the achievement here for ensuring that we do all the schools is that our mobile offices have a schedule where they're doing schools, and they're ensuring that they visit all the schools of teams. Each mobile office is staffed with two front office clerks plus a mobile manager, so a total of three officials per mobile unit. That helped us ensure that wherever they went, they were able to do all the work, and they were able to interview on the spot cases of late registration of birth. The next slide talks to identity document campaigns, because we had unclaimed IDs on hand. We opened up a balance of 2,666, and then in this period, we collected 9,499 applications, and we issued 9,662. It means we distributed 9,662 IDs. There were IDs that were older than 3 months, which were 733, and those that were older than 6 months were 464, and the closing balance is 2,039. Chairperson, when you look at it, you'll see that we opened off a balance of 2,666, and we're closing off a lower balance of 2,039. Which shows that at least there were efforts put in place to reduce the number of IDs that are on hand. We did radio talk shows. Our mobile offices also helped in delivering IDs. There are also door-to-door campaigns to ensure that people's IDs are delivered at home. We are also conducting quarterly electronic stock taking to ensure that the IDs that are on hand are equal to the ones that are electronically captured, because if we don't do electronic stock taking, then we have IDs on hand that are less than what is the actual, because you'll find that there are some instances when IDs is distributed, then officials forget to remove it from the electronic system. So when we do a stock taking and we do it electronically, we clear off instances where officials may have forgotten to remove the ID whilst they had delivered it, especially when they delivered it through the mobile unit. Because sometimes when the mobile unit is not connecting, they are unable to, you know, when they deliver ID, to capture it on the system that they have delivered it. We found that when we do regular electronic stock taking, it also helps us to ensure that our IDs on hand are actually what is in the system. But also during the imbizos, we do a lot of deliveries of IDs. You see that when we also, that IDs applications that we did were 9,499. We at the same time issued 9,662 IDs, which is just above what we collected. When we add that to the brought forward, it leaves us with 2,039 IDs. The next slide talks to the passport application and statistics. The passports, 1,430 passports is the one that we had in this quarter, and the collection of passports, child passports was 301, and the processing of official passport we did 54, and the maxi passports 32. The temporary passports is 1,404, and the emergency travel certificates were 42. The next slide talks to duplicate cases. I'm sure honorable members will recall that the duplicates were published in the local newspapers to ensure that the people who are duplicates can come to the department to come and, you know, apply for the resolution of the duplicate. We are experiencing that although the department published 29,000 duplicates per province, still, people that are duplicate are not coming forth as well as we they should, and we are investigating, you know, other means to check why is it that people are published and they are not coming. Is it due to other people would have applied for another ID to run away from their original identity? Maybe they had deaths and, you know, they then decided to have applied for another ID at that stage when the systems could not talk to each other. But, you know, with the TransUnion and other private sector interventions, it is where it is determined whether these people that are on the list are also doing other transactions at the bank or not. That process of studying why people are not coming is still on so that we can determine why it is happening. But in the province, you'll see that we had 224 cases, and the number of new duplicate cases were only 79. Cases referred to head office was 168. The difference here is that other cases that are in the office is where a person came forward and they still needed other information to ensure that they assist the person of applying for the new ID. And cases that were published, we saw that 69 of them came forth in this quarter, and the applications were taken and they were forwarded. We are awaiting the outcome of these cases, and we have a number of unfinalized or not finalized cases of 153. We also processed late registration of birth, and the opening balance was 681. The number of LRB applications received was 348, and the number of applications approved was 392. Number of applications that were rejected. This rejection might be a person who is taking chance and trying to, you know, apply for a late registration of birth whilst they are from other countries like Lesotho or Namibia. And they are forwarded or referred to Inspectorate for investigation, and this case was deported because they were found to be illegal in the country. We also have a query register, and then we are registering how many queries we received in the office to ensure that queries that are received are resolved within the shortest time possible. So each office has a query register. So we on a monthly basis, we monitor how far is this query. Most often, queries that are received would relate to where people correct or amend their particulars, say my name was not correctly spelled, or my date of birth is not correct, or gender is not correctly captured. And these cases are monitored to ensure that they are resolved as soon as possible. And the statistics is as reflected there, Chairperson. We have stakeholder forum in the province, and each local municipality has a stakeholder forum. We have 27 local municipalities and 5 district municipalities. We should launch one provincial stakeholder forum. We are reporting here that we needed to launch Francis Barth District Municipality. We haven't launched it because we are still in consultation with the district municipality, you know, discussing the constitution and getting the cooperation to ensure that at the end of the day, the district municipality is launched. We are unable to launch the provincial structure unless we have launched all the district and the local municipalities. So I can report that Karrebeek local municipality was launched, and leaving us with Francis Barth to be launched. As soon as we have launched Francis Barth, we'll be in the position to launch the provincial stakeholder forum. And then we are also reporting that once the stakeholder forum is launched, it must be maintained to ensure that it exists. That the structure exists is when there are minutes of meetings taking place or there are minutes of activities that the structure was, you know, doing with the department in that month. Then we monitor whether there were meetings and whether there are minutes, whether there is attendance of members in the structure. And the office and the local municipality or offices within a local municipality are having files where they indicate that this meeting took place or these activities were taking place. We are also just highlighting in the next slide that we have support from the local structures or from other structures like SAPS, where we are hand-in-hand working together to ensure that the services are rendered to the public. Like I reported earlier on, that often local municipalities are willing to accommodate the department in order to open a service point or to open a satellite office. And we have seen that our relationship with stakeholders in the province is very much, you know, it's good in terms of what the department stands to benefit and what the services, how the services get improved. The next slide talks to the permits, the temporary residence permits, and there's a statistical indication of application received and then applications approved and permits refused. On the first column is the types of permits that are collected, which are visitors permits, study permits, business permits, medical permits, and, you know, relatives permits, etc. I must highlight that these permits were in a backlog situation in the last quarter of last year. And since the intervention of the unit and the appointment of an acting person, a new acting person in that unit, we can report that we don't have any backlog with regard to temporary residence permits, because the backlog has been totally eliminated. And then these permits are being received at local offices, and they are getting distributed to the applicants. We used to get a lot of queries with regard to permits, and since the intervention, we are seeing that we receive permits and they are able to be distributed. Recently now, the department has started on working on the permanent residence permits, and as a province, we submitted the least number of permanent residence permits that were outstanding, and we are looking at the outcome in the shortest period, because as we speak, the unit in head office that deals with permanent residence permit is addressing this and attending to our applications. We have been receiving a lot of queries also with regard to permanent residence permit, because at that time we are not attending to them, but we are focusing on the temporary residence permits. The deportation statistics. There was a carryover of 52 people in this period, and the number who were to be deported were 169, and the direct deportations were 32, and deported via Lindela was 215, and carryover of deportees to the new month was 53. The number released from detention, maybe these who are released from detention would be mainly those that were arrested whilst they did not have or were not in possession of their documents. So once they produced their documents after investigation by the inspectorate staff, they were released. And we are indicating here that This is the situation. We are also working hand in hand with the SAPS because they are the ones that are detaining, you know, providing detention facilities for the detained suspected illegal foreign nationals. With fleet management, as I highlighted earlier on, that we are a vast province. We had 28 vehicles when this year started, and we report in here that we received 11 vehicles. Chairperson, I must record that where we are opening, for example, new offices like Carnarvon, and where there are small offices like Colesberg, and new offices like Globlasur, those offices, when they open, because we receive new vehicles, we have made it a point that we allocate them each of a new vehicle so that there will be support from the main office, but officials placed at that office will be in a position to, when they need to, travel to the main office for maybe capturing whilst we are still busy with, you know, because when you open the office, sometimes it is not fully, you know, functional in terms of IT. But like Carnarvon today, we can report that there is a car, there are three officials already there, and there are other resources. But we are happy with this allocation of vehicles because then it has helped us a lot in terms of providing resources to the smallest towns and offices in the furthest places. We have also ensured that with this allocation, we have three pickup buggies, the, you know, Isuzu buggies, and we allocated them to inspectorate to increase our, you know, resources in terms of the immigration officials when they travel around and they have to arrest the illegal immigrants. At least now with the new allocation, most main offices like Kimberley and Kuruman, they received each two new buggies, and the other buggy allocated to a small office. But I must also extend to say that we also looked at the ports, and we ensured that ports that did not have sufficient vehicles, at least like NACOP, we gave them on the spot two vehicles, and we allocated per post. So this allocation was spread, you know, across in terms of the services that we provide to ensure that, you know, each specialization would have received a vehicle over and above vehicles that they have. So that would help us a great deal. We had number of, we have allocated to us mobile offices, 12 mobile offices allocated to us. But I must report that three, we, through a consultation, we allowed them to be used in Limpopo, and we remaining of nine. Of the nine, seven are electronically functional. Earlier on, I reported that we managed to do all the schools, we managed to distribute IDs, and we also, due to the vastness in the province, at least we are able to reach out to those communities. I must also report that amongst this, we have branded buggies, the 4x4 buggies that we are using, to ensure that we go to the furthest point to collect applications. Sometimes there are areas where the truck cannot reach. And those buggies that are branded, our staff are able to use a buggy, a 4x4 buggy, to go into the village to collect and to go and register. Maybe the truck is placed in the main village. They go to the furthest areas to collect those applications in the farms and come back to register applications in that part. At least seven out of nine are electronically connecting, which means the satellite is functioning. We were lucky that towards the end of the previous financial year, the company that is servicing the satellites visited us, and since they worked on the truck, and showed our IT officials how to work on the satellite. That has helped us because they are able to phone and, you know, in consultation of the company, work on the fault that might be there. The thing is also, as Mr. Simons reported, is that through decentralization, we are able as managers to sign on the spot for a job order for repairs. Unlike previously where we had to ferry or submit orders for repairs to head office and the turnaround time was not as good as now. Now the manager on the spot is able to review and say, do I need four tires on this truck? And then you know what is the situation and we are able to immediately approve, and that helps us to ensure that the truck or the mobile office is on the way to conduct and to perform services. The priority list of offices, I've highlighted that in this year's business plan, these are prioritized for opening. As I reported that today, Carnarvon is opening, and we are indicating the square kilometer of the, the square meter of the office. Sutherland, as I indicated, the Karoo of land, is very much willing and excited to offer us office space, but as the members would know, we have to go through public works in order to ensure that the office space that we may procure from the municipality, we are in line of the regulation and the law. But the municipality is saying, very quickly, we are vacating these offices. You must please ensure that you come. Because we can see that they really want the services of Home Affairs to be in their area. The Hope Town and the Victoria West, we are still working on them, ensuring that we get space. But as we are already looking for office space, at least we are allowed to already now budget for resources, how many vehicles we get, and what is the IT. We are already, you know, ensuring that we recruit staff. I reported that already the staff for Carnarvon that has been recruited over the quarters, and then we are all already busy with starting to, you know, prepare ourselves to open these offices because they are in the business plan of this year. The below slide shows that Hulabla's work is about to be opened, and the official is there posing in front of the office. Hulabla's work would be a small office, which would be manned by at least not more than five officials, but it will render basic services. It will be, it's about 110 kilos from Upington. So it means that the services can be rendered there and supported by the main office, which should be Upington. There's offices before they are opened, honorable members. They must be refurbished according to the look and feel project of Home Affairs. And we are just showing that the offices before they open, they are refurbished so that when the staff is serviced, I mean, when the staff is servicing the public, they're servicing them in a, you know, in a dignified area, and, you know, to show that the battle pay is taken into consideration. This office is Carnarvon that I've already reported to about. And the next slide talks to the leasing of buildings. We are lucky that we have at least not been closed out of an office, although we also have the same challenge that sometimes the contracts are not signed on time to ensure that, you know, this is the mandate where we are assisted by Public Works. The challenge here is that sometimes when we find an accommodation, due to the processes that have to be followed in procuring office space, we tend to lose out on the office space that we identified. And when we start another process, then we are already again starting afresh and not having an office space. Honorable members, if they will visit us one day and they'll go to Postmasbeg, for example, is where we identified you know, a suitable office space, but due to the processes of the Department of Public Works, we lost, we couldn't get into that office space. And therefore, we are still operating from an office that we really is not to the standard that it should be. But we are trying our best, and like it was reported earlier on, DG is in consultation and is in interacting with the Department of Public Works to ensure that we get office space. I reported that the local municipalities are playing their part in terms of offering us space. At Priska, at Yankemdorp, we are using those office space at the rental of 1 rand per annum rate. Yes, it is just to ensure that there is a lease agreement. So it's actually at nothing, but it's technically it's a 1 rand per annum, which is a financial kind of arrangement that she knows better than myself. And we're hoping that at Sutherland that the same thing will prevail where we're getting an office space. without any cost. It's nice sometimes to be providing services at a rural province, because in the rural areas, things are not like in, you know, fluent kind of provinces where you have to pay everything. Often we don't pay, because even the municipality sometimes they transport us any time to say we have an imbiz or we have something there, come, we'll take you. You know, the relationship is very cordial, and, you know, ensuring that they enable us to help the community that they are also serving. The hospitals is one example that I can cite. When they give us an office space, it sometimes gives us a very big space where we realize that we can even operate it more than a hospital connectivity point, but as an office. These are the labor relations cases in the slide, honorable members and chairperson. We have five cases, new reported cases in this quarter. And then they are under investigation, and two are at submission level. Our branch, Counter Corruption and Security Services, have assisted us to ensure that each province has an assistant director prevention. This assistant director is the one that is doing investigation of fraud and corruption that happens in a province. So before your presiding officer is appointed, the assistant director will do an investigation, because they must thoroughly investigate and be able to provide proof that this misconduct happened in order for a case to be preferred against an official, and to ensure that also when the case has been finalized at the arbitration or at the beyond the appeal point, the department can still win the case, because they can always advise that there is no case here. Unlike before, you know, when we as managers without the necessary skills of investigation would prefer a case whilst we had not looked at other things that are technical in terms of, you know, police and investigation, if I have to put it that way. So these people are the ones that are there. Each province has, and we have one person who's like that, who does thorough investigation, and when the case is taken through the presiding officer, we know that it is at least a winnable case, and it will not be an easy case to win at appeal or at arbitration level. So these cases are there, and this manager is doing investigation, and they are saying two are at submission level. At submission level, they mean it's submitted to a counter-corruption, and then the counter-corruption branch would then appoint a presiding officer who will now preside over a case to finalize this case. And we have two that has already been submitted, and she's busy with the three others. Improper conduct means here we can see that we reported that two were drunk on duty. It is also investigated why the officials were drunk on duty. And I must report that this was during the Good Friday or the Easter long weekend. And when an official is drunk on duty, you then have to grapple with ensuring that you replace the official on the spot. And we are busy with these two. One is at submission level. Earlier on, I reported that the contact details of the DG and the other DDGs is displayed at each office, also that of the provincial manager. We see that with this, the public can easily just pick up a phone and report to you that I'm here at this point and I'm being detained on this official's route to me. You investigate and you find that often it is true. And the officials also, I must say, this is also a preventative kind of strategy, because they know that the public will be able to phone you. As much as they are putting in name tags, they know that the public member will look at the name tag and just call the manager, and they can actually even call the DG. We are seeing less and less of misconduct happening, and we're seeing that once they see that we deal with misconduct, that also helps them not to, you know, to just easily go into misconduct. This has improved the service a great deal also, because should the officials go away from the counters, the public members at any port or any office, they are able to, we receive calls from the public to say, you have 10 counters, yet only 7 or 6 counters are meant. When you phone the manager, then you see that it's either they will be able to explain or they will be able to say, no, these two officials were at the back or whatever, and they are returned to the counter to serve the public. few misconduct have been committed, and managers are encouraged also to ensure that they implement a progressive disciplinary management style where they are able to issue on the spot a final or a written warning to ensure that the misconduct is not happening. This is happening over and above the awareness that we are always conducting, sometimes even conducting it in conjunction of the labor relations unit that is in head office. The warnings have been issued and the final written warning to an official. With regard to staff development, we are reporting the number of training that has been conducted. The basic accounting system introductory training was performed. This was performed as it has been reported, and I'm going to report here that we achieved the decentralization that Mr. Simons was reporting about. So initially, before, this would have been done mainly by the staff at the head office. But now that they would have to do it, capture orders at the provincial level, they had to be trained first to ensure that once the centralization takes place, then there is segregation of duties in order to ensure that, not one official would capture and release payment. There is segregation of duties to ensure that we prevent fraud and corruption. So training here would mainly be that, and we are also indicating that the senior management development program, where the director of finance was happy to be one of those that were selected, and she's still undergoing that training. We're hoping that in the coming year would also now allow more senior managers to go through this training. There was PMDS training for one person, and then the standard payment, this one is also related to that one of decentralization. And they also did an advanced training on bus. The figures are reported there. And they did also logis to ensure that they capture assets in their system and they are also be able to work on the logis system. And then there is an induction. Every time now when the officials are appointed, they must be taken through an induction program from the level of senior manager like directors, chief directors, to the lowest level. People are taken through that training. Over and above this, I must report that the officials are also encouraged to apply for bursaries to increase their profile in terms of their qualifications. The next slide talks to the business plan and performance agreements. Performance agreements have to be signed every year before the end of April and be submitted to the Department of Public Service and Administration. We are reporting that at least 280 performance agreements were captured, and then those that could not be captured was due to the fact that the officials were on maternity leave. Two were on maternity leave, one was on extended sick leave, and one was on injury on duty, and the other official could not be found as he was absconding from work. And then the moderation for 2011-12 performance management was done and it was completed and it has been submitted for approval and payment of incentives. The next slide talks to staff engagement. There is a continuous interaction of staff in the province through holding provincial management meetings. You know, as I reported earlier on, that from the EXCO or from the DMC, where provincial managers attend, and they mainly attend DMC, they get invited to EXCO if there is an issue to be finalized or discussed. So from higher meetings, the provincial managers must ensure that they conduct provincial management meetings to ensure that provincial managers that head their offices are in touch or are, you know, up to speed of what decisions they are taking at the higher level. And those decisions must be cascaded down to the most junior official at any office. So provincial managers hold monthly provincial meetings with their office managers. And then also during these meetings, there are quarterly review sessions where officials are invited, you know, per category to ensure that they either accompany provincial management team to national review meetings in order to ensure. DG is saying that as the more the officials are involved in terms of what the department is doing, the more they understand the mandate of the department. So it can't be that managers only know what should be done, and these people are always, the officials are always left out. So this has helped us a great deal in terms of ensuring that the mindset of the official is changed in order for the official to buy into the new developments of the department. Staff meetings are held. There are DMOs, district manager operations, per district, and these district managers who are at director level also hold office management meetings of office managers. And then the provincial manager ensures that at least they select per area or per district which office to ensure that that month they have held a staff meeting of the staff. And then there are local office meetings which are weekly to ensure that they discuss what were the challenges, what are things that needs to be improved in that office. And then there are also one-on-one sessions of the staff to ensure that the staff is focused and they understand the mandate of the department. And like it has been reported, then there are youth forum activities. We launched the youth forum last year, and it is operating also the same way that it has been reported here. Achievements. Earlier on, we reported that we are able to distribute IDs because we are also in the radio, afforded radio slots across the province. But we are mentioning here that we have a monthly slot at the local radio station of Kurara, which is in the Kuruman area. It's where the public is informed about how many IDs are there, what is the process of applying for ID, and the importance of collecting and looking after IDs, all those things. And we are reporting here that we have slots at radio stations. And then we are also beefing up our security to ensure that the assets of the state are safeguarded by installing alarm system at offices where offices are not guarded by a security guard. We are also reporting that we have 15 positions that are advertised and the closing date has passed. We are finalizing the recruitment process on those applications. Still more applications, I mean more posts were advertised in July, and this will be soon the recruitment and selection process will be finalized. These are helping us in the improvement of staff morale, because once posts are filled, they feel at least we are attending to the issues that affect them, and you know, there's no staff shortage like they used to report. There has been approval of new, we received approval of three positions, which are the SAO Finance, Senior Administrative Officer Finance in Kimberley Office, Senior Personnel Practitioner at the Provincial Manager's Office, and Senior Administrative Officer at the Springbok Regional Office. This will help us in the segregation and expansion of staff establishment. The fleet management, I reported that we received 11 vehicles, and these vehicles have been distributed across the province to ensure that services are equitably rendered. The NPR campaigns, National Population Register campaigns, we achieved 109% in registering of babies within 30 days after they were born. And we did all the 253 schools in the province and visited all the high schools to collect applications. I reported that 2,668 ID applications were collected. And then at the high schools, and the rest were at other lower levels. And IDs were also handed out to learners. And then inspectorate staff also were now joining in terms of visiting the schools to ensure that learners' documents were inspected, and seven learners were found without the proper documents. We reporting that there was a successful decentralization of the finance We're looking at also the decentralization of the human resource functions, and we have seen the advertisement of deputy directors and also of the assistant directors for asset and finance. And we are at the end stage of a recruitment of the post that I'm reporting about. The decentralization, I reported, is very fruitful because we see the turnaround times on services, and the payment within 30 days is going to be realized because payment is done here and now, where we don't get to lose documents as they are would be forwarded maybe to head office. We also reporting that there are achievements with regard to immigration services, where officials were detaining a Chinese citizen, and the Chinese were trying, in this instance, were trying to bribe them, and the officials were steadfastly refusing to accept the bribe, to the extent that they opened a case of the police, and these people that tried to bribe them were convicted in the court of law and, given sentences, and some of them were deported on the spot after they lost the cases at courts. The challenges that we have is that the stakeholder forum, for example, that there's a tendency that the commitments of the political stakeholders in the stakeholder forum, they have their own program. We are still trying to synchronize our programs of theirs so that when meetings are called, at least meetings are able to, to sit successfully. We're hoping that in going forward, we'll be able to synchronize our plans of theirs so that at least there's a movement there. We know that sometimes their schedule is too tight and they are too committed, but we are trying also to get our time in order for them to participate in the stakeholder forum. The accommodation, I've already highlighted to the delay experienced by the department, that we experience when the Department of Public Works is not able to procure office space on time, leaving us struggling to find the proper or suitable accommodation. We are also reporting that in the province, we have a challenge of passport case capturing stations. We only have four offices out of the 10 main offices that do passport capturing, which means that at 6 offices, passport applications are collected and they are forwarded to the 4 offices. We would, prefer that each office has a passport capturing station. But the future is that Home Affairs is going to roll out the live capture stations. And the live capture stations, when they are rolled out, then people are going to be able to apply for a passport at each office that is there. And I think that will help us in terms of removing this hurdle from service delivery. Chairperson, thank you very much. That is all.
Thank you, Mr. Mvula. Honorable members, that was a report from Northern Cape. A number of issues were also raised here. The time for your questions and your comments from members. We are all satisfied with the report from Northern Cape. I don't see the end. Honorable McIntosh, Honorable De Freitas, Honorable Matebe, Honorable Khasibone, Honorable Peterson Maduna, Honorable Marcella, you'll be the last, in that order.
Madam Chair, when a man comes from the Northern Cape and has a surname Mvula, which means rain, you think to yourself there's a contradiction in terms. It was a very good presentation, Mr. Mvula, and I think you've got a very big, as you highlighted to us, a very extensive province. I could just say that when you make presentations to the Portfolio Committee, I think you could speed it up a bit. You've got the hard copies. You took a lot of time plodding through stuff which was on the table anyway for us. But I'm not thereby saying it wasn't a good presentation. It was just as where I come from, near Ladysmith. We have a famous song group. I don't know if you've heard of them. Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And they also have a little song. It's called Itachimiya. Time is money. Time is money. And Mr. Mvula, I think if you could in future in presentation just speed them up for us a bit, we'd appreciate it. Now, it was quite clear. I actually only have one question, and that's relating to passports. Why do you issue so many temporary passports and also emergency travel documents? Because you almost issue as many temporary passports as permanent passports. So that's the only question I have, Madam Chair. In other respects, it was a clear presentation. Thank you.
Honourable Chief Minister.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a few questions. Thanks for the presentation and the good work that you and your team are doing. I was very interested to hear that in hospitals you basically take over a little office and make it a Home Affairs office. What is the reaction from the hospital in doing that? I think it's a very good idea, but is there a formal arrangement? Have you just basically taken over? And how does it actually work? What I'm really asking is, how does it work with people? I mean, imagine if you've got a few hundred people coming into the hospital and they're not sick people, they just want Home Affairs issues to be resolved. Surely the hospital wouldn't be too happy about that. So maybe you could just explain how that would work, because you'd imagine the hospital needs to be as sterile as possible. You don't want every Tom, Dick and Harry walking in from that perspective. But it's a great idea. I'd be interested to find out how that works. Then, again, it's coming up in this province, Madam Chair, and that is the slow action by Public Works. And I think this is a major issue. Perhaps the Northern Cape can tell us from their experience, what's the holdup? Do they just sit on the stuff? You've now told us to the extent where you've lost a good property, it would have been ideal. What is the problem, and can perhaps the Portfolio Committee intervene somehow? Perhaps I'm now maybe speaking out of turn, Madam Chair, but maybe even bringing in officials from the Department of Public Works and actually challenging them, because they're compromising the work that's taking place in Home Affairs. And already Home Affairs has historically had a bad reputation, a bad rap, and we're trying very hard to change that. So that's the other aspect. And then you did mention that you get properties for free, which I'm intrigued about. And I wanted just to find out, and I know it's a different type of province and different type of community, does that not somehow compromise Home Affairs? If it's something that's just given for nothing, I'm not talking about the 1 cent one, because that's, I can understand from an accounting perspective, but where communities basically give you space, if that's what I understood, maybe I misunderstood, that offices are given to you basically for nothing as a favor. If that is the case, are we not compromised? Can these people who own the building at any stage tell us to tell Home Affairs to move out and so forth? So if you could just perhaps talk about that, maybe I misunderstood you. And then, all the other questions I think you answer. Thank you.
Robert Matebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Mvula, thank you for completing a report or whatever from your province. You mentioned carnival, that the people were paying something plus minus 800. So I need clarity. What happened? What transpired to that money? What comes? Did the people afford that, to pay that money? Which is too much to me. And hence you don't have a refugee reception center in that area. What happened to the illegal refugees? This you can just criminal refugees or criminals migrant those who come to South Africa, and they just ultimately can run away from it. And also a question here, bribery. You said there's this official those who've been refused to take bribery, which I'm not quite certain, because really the bribery issues there is a burning issue in our Department of Home Affairs. Just have to deal with something like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chapter 7. On your stakeholder support slide, I'm not sure of the slide number. I don't know if this is a typing error or what. Any clarity, like on your duration, you are speaking of transferring of illegal foreigners for deportation. I just need clarity on that. And your GTJ, it might seem minor to you, but it must be written JTJ, John Dalokhaitse. Now, the other question, in terms of performance management, given the low capacity rate, what is the budget for performance bonuses and overtime? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks again for the presentation from Northern Cape. My first question, what is the nature of the arrangement with the South African police concerning illegal immigrants, actually, at Pampierstad? Secondly, I think I'm quite impressed and really satisfied with the disability issue, but I just want to know from the youth forum which was launched, do you have any disabled persons there? Because I think with Western Cape, they didn't have any in this youth forum, people who were disabled there. I think. Thank you, Chairperson.
My questions, really, the first one is, given the fact that you've got obviously areas in the your province is vastly huge, but your percentage of inhabitants is really low. You've actually testified on that as well. But I just need to understand what motivated you to give the three vehicles to Limpopo, the mobile offices. What was the rationale behind that, given the fact that you have to serve some rural areas? And the other one is, what is the name of the company that is servicing the satellite? Because that is the question that I feel that we should have raised, Chairperson, with the very first area that raised the concern, even when we're in KZN, when they were complaining about this company. If it does not serve them well, then the department must remove them. We can't carry on getting the same problem over and over again with a service provider that should serve, and they fail to do so. What we need to do is to give them a boot and get a new company to serve the department. The other question is, you've reported that there are documents, ID documents, that remained uncollected, sometimes more than 6 months. Well, what do you think is the reason for that, and what do you do with them, given the fact that they are not collected? And the other one is the kind of queries that you get monthly. What is the nature of these queries? And obviously, what are the challenges in addressing them? I heard you talking about the complaints from public, saying that official so-and-so has been rude to me, and I've seen that you've acted, and I think that is quite laudable, Chair. Because most of these, we don't get feedback. When you get to the offices, you see there's a pen and a paper. Most people would feel comfortable to write, but some who cannot write, how do they raise their issues, of which the issue of the cell phones, of the leadership, the management, that's really a thing. The last one, Chair, is that in terms of the immigration services, there are 77 people that were released without being deported. Why was it that, and what has been done to deal with such people once they are released without being deported? And how long do you keep people as deportees in your holding facilities? Do you have any holding facilities for that matter? Thank you, sir.
Bula, you may respond to the memo.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Mayor Khoza will also assist me. I don't know whether she wants to, you want to take. Thank you for the questions, honorable members. They are well appreciated because it will also help us to focus on the issues identified. And thank you very much, Honorable McIntosh. Unfortunately, I'm very slow. I'll try to improve on time because I was trying to, you know, ensure that honorable members understand, and only to find that I was going too slow. Many people apply for temporary passports. Sometimes they come and report that I'm from this particular area. We're seeing this more and more since we have the Kumba mines in the area of Kuruman and Postmas Bay. Because then they come to say, I lost my passport and I need to travel quickly. And it's either they apply for a temporary passport whilst they need to do business in an adjacent country, or they use an emergency travel certificate for, you know, either for visiting relatives in Namibia or in Botswana. They might be doing so because they have a death in the adjacent country. And that we are seeing that people do it. We experience it, it's seasonal. It's not throughout the year. There are times of the year when people come through and go through because they need to quickly go through to Botswana. And I think it is also influenced by the hunting season where we can see that fluctuating during those times. And when we reported about Carnarvon, honorable member, it was to indicate that we have, you know, we stopped before we opened Carnarvon. We stopped and checked what is happening when there is death in this town. And you know, the public members there told us that when we have to report death, when we need a death certificate, we have to pay close to 800 just to pay for the taxi to take us to the R, which is about single trip, close to 200 kilos. You know, return would be close to 400. So, you know, people exploit people in the small towns, 800, you know. You don't have a choice but to pay. It's not that they are paying the service in home affairs, but they are paying a transport to the, you know, local guy to take them to a place. And we are just highlighting that with the opening of this, the public members there, they are very happy. Whilst we branded the office and we, you know, labeled it, they were asking us, when are you opening? When are you opening? So today we said, even if we don't have connectivity as today, let us open it. We will, with the vehicle that we said is allocated, rather the government resources would be used to go and print the certificate or, you know, to collect applications in 2 days and meanwhile. But we are going to also increase the speed of ensuring that there is connectivity in that area. So that was what was bringing up. But also the birth registration. We've seen that with the opening of an office there, it will increase the birth registration because we were imagining that if they have to register a child, it means also they would have to pay the same amount. The illegal immigrants and the refugee center, we don't have a refugee center in the Northern Cape, but our inspectorate staff do conduct routine inspections. They also do that in consultation of the SAPS, where they do raids, where they do roadblocks to be able to identify people that are illegal, and those are detained for deportation if we find that they don't have proper documents. With regard to bribery, I think when the staff is more aware of the implications, we saw that it was in more than three instances where staff in different areas reported that this person tried to bribe me with $3,000 or $2,000, and I refused it. Because we have said to them, $2,000, you will be a slave forever if you take the $2,000 from this person. Because after taking it for the first time, you will take it with the second and the third until you are working for the person who paid you $2,000 at an instance. It results in death, it results you in losing your job, you know, because you can be killed by syndicates as well. But I think the department has raised awareness with regard to the dangers associated with bribery. And I'm seeing that officials also say, either my career or $2,000. So they weigh in and they're saying, this is not enough to make me a slave. And we're seeing that they at least are reporting it. And we are also saying to them, when you report it, you will be recognized as a very performing. They go into the department newsletter, you know, to be recognized. And we tell DG that this staff member, the case went through the court, and this staff, you know, they are shown as being exemplary to the other officials. And we are very much appreciative of that. We are saying, Honourable Member, the office space which the hospital allocates to us, especially in a very remote town. Now, in a remote town, I've seen Warrenton, for example, I visited that place. You'll find that there are, in a day, there are about 5 to 10 people trickling in into the hospital. As opposed to, if it was in a big town, you wouldn't allow such a movement into a hospital. But in these small towns, it's low numbers, and the hospital is aware. I know that in Warrenton, the hospital members or officials were, and the manager were saying, for sure, if we open it for other services, the people here are going to welcome it. And we're seeing that they give us a space, and it's a space that we can use. Another hospital that I forgot earlier I want to mention was Warrenton, where the office space that they gave us is adjacent, it's just in the yard of the hospital. So babies are registered there, but also it is used as an office. And we've seen that it does not have to do, it doesn't infringe on the principles and policies of the Department of Health in terms of infection control and prevention. But it is signed in the Memorandum of Understanding. The public works is delaying because often they say, even if the procurement instructions were received from the Department of Health, sometimes they have not been signed off by the DG at the Department of Public Works. So we have been, you know, DG met with them, but we still to see that the intervention is bearing fruit. But what we reported was that currently we didn't do very well in terms of the office procurement. The lease is the 1 rand per annum lease. It's where there is a lease agreement that is signed. So where there is a lease agreement that is signed, even if the fee is low, but that is working as a contractual, it's a contractual obligation that we have signed for so many years. It's not that even if it is for free, we don't yet occupy it before signing a lease agreement. On the stakeholder slide, Honorable Member was asking about the transportation of illegal foreigners. I don't know whether you checked it, ma'am. I'll come back to it. But I want to accept that where John Taolo Haite was written as JGT, we corrected it. It's a typing error. Because also we are saying to the officials, write the names of the municipalities. Let us write the names of the municipalities in full. Because these names have got, you know, they are about our must ensure that each member, staff member, knows how to pronounce and write them. And we take that we would correct it. And we had corrected it. I don't know how it landed again here, because I had corrected, personally corrected it to say, it's John Taolo Haizel. Sometimes a writer does not know how to write John Taolo Haizel, and we say, no, it's John, let's say it. I know that one of the officials in my office, she's very happy now that she's able to say John Taolo Haizel, because initially she couldn't say it. But just some weeks ago, she told staff members that, I can say John Taolo Haizel. But it's important that development is very good that these heroes are named after these districts to make people aware of them. The department has about 1.5% budget for salary progression or pay progression, and 1% budget of the wage bill for performance bonuses, honorable member. So these two, every year, we look at what is the total wage bill, and we say 1% will be used for performance bonus, and 1.5% would be used for pay progression. The illegal immigrants, honorable member, at Bampistat, it's where also we were reporting that they were, you know, we have inspectorate staff at that area. We have 3 inspectorate staff, and they are very active in terms of going about. Bampistat is a border area of Northwest and Northern Cape. And these 3 officials, they do the raids. They go into the area of Northwest, and they also do raids into the Northern Cape. But we are happy with the statistics that they are identifying and, you know, arresting illegal immigrants and deporting. When we look at the reports, we Bampistat, Kimberley, they are tops in terms of doing their job as inspectorate staff. The youth forum, the disabled persons in the youth forum, we ensured when we appointed, the committee was nominated, we instructed them to make sure that of the 10, was it 10, 12, 3 of them should be disabled. And we know them, we can count them, that it is so-and-so of this disability. We are there as well to show them that we are very serious with regard to people with disability. And I want Mrs. Kosa to also add on to the issues before I finalize with Honorable Kwasela's questions.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just to respond to the question asked by Honorable Hase Bonwi, the budget for overtime for Northern Cape Province for this financial year is 1 million rand. And the question that you asked about transportation of illegal foreigners in the stakeholder support slide, we were just trying to show the kind of support that SAPS as a stakeholder is rendering to the department. They are assisting us in terms of transporting illegal foreigners and in terms of detention facilities. And the next question, okay, it was actually a concern raised by Honorable De Vreters around the issue of compromising the Department of Home Affairs when we get free property. This property is actually supplied by the municipality, so nothing is actually compromised there. And I also want to respond to the question around, okay, which one is it? Oh, the question asked by Honorable Marcella regarding the name of the company that is servicing the trucks. It is Fentech. Fentech is the name of the company that services the trucks. And I think that's it.
Thank you. The honorable members, the other was the documents not collected for more than 6 months. The policy of Home Affairs is that if an ID is at the office for more than 6 months, it must be returned to head office, and at the end of the 12 months, it will be destroyed. We, therefore, at the office level, we are encouraging that we monitor and do an age analysis of IDs. We have a template which monitors how many months is the ID. If it is above 3 months, and they start even to phone, to send letters, to make sure that the applicant is aware. I think it is the residual of IDs that were for 20 rand that we still have in our hands, and that would go over 6 months. Because we have seen that since the fee of the ID was increased to 400, we see more and more, what am I saying? I'm thinking about the passport now. Since it was increased to 140 rand, we see more and more public members after they applied coming back to the office to collect. But we are also doing all other efforts to ensure that we track how old is the ID, and those IDs that are older than 3 months, the officials must phone. And, you know, where there are instances where the cell number is still working and the person has, we're finding that when they phone them, they come to collect. And that will improve our balance on end. The nature of queries is that, like I said, queries would mainly be I applied to change my name 6 months or more than 6 months ago. What is the situation? Previously also, like I said, we used to get queries, especially around temporary residence permits. And then mainly again of the permanent residence permits. But as soon as there is intervention, we see that queries on that particular application, they go down. Like I said, that there was a huge backlog of more than 46,000 temporary permits that we had as backlog, and there was intervention to clear them. They are at zero, I think they reported, and we saw that the queries that we had were lessened. But once a query is registered, we also take the contact details of the person, and we make managers, the district managers that are there, are charged with the responsibility to ensure that those queries that are registered within their district, they take it upon themselves to ensure that they follow them through and make sure that this query is resolved on the spot or within the shortest time possible. Immigration services, and how long are people kept? It is just to indicate that a person can be detained according to the Act for 48 hours whilst we are investigating that person, and that person has the responsibility also of ensuring that within the 48 hours they produce their documents. And that is why we see that they are detained. But also it happens during roadblocks that people are detained because they didn't have in their possession documents. These are the people that would tend to get their documents brought to them, and they would be released the following day. So when a person is suspected to be an illegal foreigner, they would be detained by either the police or our immigration officials, and they have the right, according to the Act, to produce their documents and be released within 48 hours after they were detained. We do not have holding facilities. The holding facilities are with the SAPS, except when, as you record an interview, you can lock up the suspected illegal foreign national in an office setting where there is, or some offices have got those small facilities that are secured, where the person can be kept while they are interviewed before they are sent to SAPS for detention. Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
Oh, the issue of the mobile offices to Limpopo.
I apologize for omitting it. When the department started with the National Population Register campaigns in 2010 and 11 financial year, we released the three mobile units, because the national registration population, the national population registration campaigns would be conducted in, I know it was KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and then followed by Limpopo and Gauteng. So at that time, there would be an effort to identify an area and you know, maximize resources to that area to ensure that people are registered. And we analyzed and we also agreed that we could release those three. We have agreed with the channel management, which supervises and manages the mobile offices, that one truck can be brought back to the province for the same reasons of vastness. But like I said, when we released the three mobile units, we were then allocated the two 4x4 buggies, which we, you know, we realized that there is an opportunity in also releasing the trucks and getting small, you know, 4x4 trucks. So we are not losing as such as a province. It was just to buy in. It was a give and take kind of a situation where we say, you can have the two, the three trucks provided at this particular time. We'll get one truck back. And then at that time, we allocated two 4x4 branded bikes. You know, we realized that let's try this test to check whether using the small bikes in small areas would come, you know, would help us in terms of ensuring that we increasing our numbers, because we realized that at that time, Centec was not preparing our trucks as they used to. Because the buggies, they came with the advantage that they had the 3G installed in them, 3G system. And they were ready for us. It was an opportunity that we could not, you know, not take. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Northern
Cape, for your presentation. And thank you, members, for your questions. Honourable members, I'm sure we can break for lunch. We will be back at 2 o'clock. The meeting is adjourned. Temporary.